98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It's 8:05 Mid-Columbia Today. Thanks for being with us on the show this morning. Wrapping up a week, wrapping up a month, actually. We won't be back, of course, until Monday, which will be March by then. High is supposed to be around 60, by the way, on Monday. So it's already feeling like later spring. This has been remarkable this year. And I will remind you that on Monday morning, our first guest actually is from the NRCS Oregon Snowpack Survey. Matt Warburton's going to join us. We'll talk about... it's not a good situation, obviously, up there with snowpack. So we will talk to him about that on Monday morning. Today, though, the Oregon legislature, speaking of situations that may not be ideal, Oregon State 52nd District Representative Jeff Helfrich is here. So we will talk to him about a number of things that are going on. Is that short session, even though it feels like it's gone on forever, is going to be a discussion. What's still to come here? Eric Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, then later in the show. We'll talk about seeds a bit with him. It's that time of year to think about what you might want to be planting and how you should get your seeds, what you should look for, among other things. So that's coming up this morning, but first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1933, Germany's Parliament building, the Reichstag, was gutted by fire. Chancellor Adolf Hitler, blaming communists, used the fire to justify suspending civil liberties. 1942, Battle of the Java Sea began during World War II. Imperial Japanese naval forces scored a decisive victory over the Allies. 1951, the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution limiting a president to two terms in office was ratified. 1972, President Richard Nixon and Chinese Premier Zhou Enlai issued the Shanghai Communique, a historic joint statement that called for normalizing relations between their countries at the conclusion of Nixon's historic visit to China. 1973, members of the American Indian Movement occupied the hamlet of Wounded Knee in South Dakota, the site of the 1890 massacre of Sioux men, women, and children. The occupation would last for over 2 months. 1991, Operation Desert Storm came to a conclusion as President George H.W. Bush declared in a White House address that Kuwait is liberated, Iraq's army is defeated, and announced the Allies would suspend combat operations at midnight Eastern Time. 1997, Ireland became one of the last countries in the world to legalize divorce. Divorce remains illegal in just two countries, the Philippines and Vatican City. In 2010, in Chile, an 8.8 magnitude earthquake and subsequent tsunami killed 525 people and caused up to $30 billion in damage and a major power blackout. 2022, Russian President Vladimir Putin dramatically escalated east-west tensions by ordering nuclear forces put on high alert, while Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky agreed to talks with Moscow as Russia's troops and tanks drove deeper into the country. Our days for today, it is International Stand Up to Bullying Day today, so that is something certainly to observe. It's also International Polar Bear Day today. It is Pokemon Day today. Apparently it was this date. I want to say it said 20 years ago. I think it feels like it's been longer than that, that Pokemon came out. It's also a National Skip the Straw Day. This is about not using plastic straws. It is National Retro Day today, a day to kind of think about going back in time a bit and how you lived your life before we had all these gadgets. And it is a No-Brainer Day today. This is a day to do things apparently that don't take much as far as thinking. The easy tasks in life. Food stuff today. We'll start out with National Kahlua Day. Celebrate responsibly. It is a National Protein Day today. Of course, that's become a big thing out there. It's also the Big Breakfast Day today. Day to have yourself a nice hearty breakfast. And it's National Strawberry Day today. Seems like that should be more toward the summer, but so be it. There it is for what it's worth. Might not be a whole lot. Oregon State 52nd District Representative Jeff Helfrich is in studio. We'll talk to him after this.
Dear Winter, Toyota can't get enough of you. because Toyota's got 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and that's more than any other auto brand. From the versatile RAV4 to the svelte Crown, the sleek Camry all-wheel drive, the Corolla hybrid all-wheel drive, the rugged Tacoma, the tenacious Tundra, and the spacious Grand Highlander with all-wheel drive to keep you and yours safe. Hey, you bring the action, we'll bring the traction. Toyota, let's go places. Based on manufacturer's websites as of 10-2025.
He has an overbite that makes him look like a cartoon character, a slightly crooked eye, and an uncommonly wrinkly neck. In the right light, he can look a little like a garden gnome. And he'll wear a bow tie just because. Sure, you might call him a little quirky. But that's exactly what makes him so perfect. Tuna is a 3-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund mix with more than 700,000 followers on Instagram. And it all started because he was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Tuna, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Happy to have with us in the studio Oregon State 52nd District Representative Jeff Helfrich. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing?
You know?
You're home.
I'm home for a few hours anyway.
I knew the answer to that, by the way, there.
It's coming to an end, though. The 5 weeks is, it's coming quick.
So. Wait, is it next week?
Yes.
So we're done next week? I thought that's about when we were.
Rumor has it around the Capitol we may be done signing die on Thursday, maybe Friday. We'll see.
Well,
when you start making those predictions, everything changes.
Yeah, and goodness knows there's some contention down there. And we'll start, first of all, with the one I think that's probably gotten the most attention, because we talked about it the most heading into it. That's the transportation part of all this.
Right.
The Senate passed earlier this week the bill for the election to be in May.
Right.
It's in the House now. It was listed on the agenda for vote yesterday. That did not happen. It apparently now is listed for Monday, from what I can tell from all the stories that are coming
date
out on
certain.
This.
Yes, date certain.
And on Monday. I guess, first of all, is it going to happen, that vote?
It's with the leadership worked through the issues that were presented, mm-hmm. and they went to a date certain. We had mm-hmm. some compromises, whether it's reading bills or all the different tools that are there. Mm-hmm. And so we went, they established a date certain on Monday, and there'll be a very robust debate, which will probably last hours.
I'm sure it will. Where are we headed? I mean, we know it's going to the ballot. Okay, right. I think we're all aware of that. And there are political machinations of why, you know, there's some on it in May, some on it in November. Where are we going to land? Are we going to land on May in this in the end? Or is it tough to tell still?
It's tough to tell. What I can say is Secretary Tobias Reed.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State Tobias Reed. He said that it has to be done by February 25th, period. That's the drop-dead date mm-hmm. to get it on the ballot, to be able, for people to get the signatures, to put the pros or cons of the ballot initiative and what their statements mm-hmm. on it. And the some attorneys for the Republican side of the aisle asked more questions, and then wrote a memo, and I think that memo has been out on social media and on the news organizations, that he said, well, he kind of walked, Secretary of State Tobias Reed walked back a little bit on that. Well, we'll try our best to get there. It's going to put a lot of pressure on us if we don't get it done now. And first went from date certain, now we're getting squishy.
Well, I guess when I thought of when that was the reason that this February 25th date was flying around was, you know, I think the deadline to file for offices in this state, which will be in that voter's pamphlet
right.
for the May primary,
mm-hmm.
is a few days after this session ends.
It's the 10th or the 11th of March.
I don't know the exact date, but it's always a few days after the short session ends to allow those who have been involved in the short session to do their filing, et cetera, make their decisions. And I kept thinking, well, okay, those folks get voter's pamphlet information into their voter's pamphlet. So admittedly, I was going, okay, why would this be any different? But I think it may have to do with the fact you can, in the case of a measure, use signatures rather than a fee.
Right, signatures rather than a fee.
To do this.
And then the other part is how some, talking to some of the county administrators that take care of the elections division, they would have to some of them have to create two-sided ballot or multi-page ballot because of this, because of that, because of the measure, the pros and cons statements with it. And that's, I think, really where it lies into, where it leans into, like, how much time is it going to take for them to get everything done? Is it going to be rushed? Is it going to be correct? You're always stepping up timelines when everybody thought it was going to be on November, in November, and then they compress the timelines. It's politics. The Senate President Wagner admitted this was about politics. They don't want their name on the side of it because it's taxes and people don't want it.
I don't think the November ballot's going to be about anything involving state of Oregon politics at all. I think it's going to involve federal politics. That's what people are going to be voting on in November in the end. I really believe that.
There's a framing that people would like to just make it all about the federal level.
Yep. I think that's what we're coming to. That's why I kind of thought, in the end, for me, this argument has almost become nobody's going to get what they think they're getting, regardless of how this works out. And eventually, people are going to just vote on this because whether they think they want this tax or not.
Right.
End of sentence, and that'll be the end. It won't impact anything else. Admittedly, I'd like to see it done earlier because I think we need to get this question settled in the overall transportation funding. We need to fix this.
There is a budget. There's a transportation budget that was we call them speed bump bills. And it's a study of speed bump bills. And then somehow it turns into funding, a whole funding bill. I'm not quite sure how that relating to clause works. Like, all right, let's keep it going. Here we go. But that has been crafted. It has not been released to the final. The co-chairs of Ways and Means, they keep that embargoed, what that looks like. But I know we talked about it in transportation. We talked about the funding, all the mechanisms that are there, what we have available to us right now in the checkbook, in the state's checkbook, that we can pay the bills and keep ODOT moving forward.
I would be interested, because we have not had much winter here for road issues.
How much savings we've had?
Because that would, and I'm not saying it would be enough to clear the problems. I know that. But I do wonder, does it change kind of some dynamics here? Because we didn't have to probably spend nearly as much as normally you do in the winter.
So let's just go back earlier last year during this the special session. If we don't do this, if we don't pass this package, if it doesn't get passed, we don't fund, there's going to be mayhem out on I-84. There's people, ODOT representatives went to the hospital here and just talked about it's going to be chaos, lawlessness. There's going to be wrecks everywhere. You're not going to be able to transport anybody to Portland or anything like that for these medical transports, all this stuff.
I remember talking about that meeting in this room with Hood River County folks, and it kind of was a meeting that was supposed to be about other things, and it became this.
Right, and then doom and gloom did not happen.
No, none of us would have predicted the weather had.
No, none of us predicted, but we had a couple of bad days, but nothing like we've had before in the past.
No.
Just a few years ago, I remember, the big snowstorm we had, and it was feet of snow sitting out here back in 2016, 2017, I think it was.
But I just wonder, because of that, does it change the dynamics in terms of how people feel about urgency in this? Because
that's a good, haven't given much thought in that. That's a good question. The first blush I would say is it probably does change the dynamics a little bit. The sky isn't falling.
Not completely.
Chicken Little's not running around. The sky's falling and stuff. We have to get things fixed. But I think you bring up a good point.
And my thing has always been on this. On the ODOT side, it's like, okay, we can have this debate, and you probably should have this debate about how ODOT's operating, what the priorities are, etc. No problem with that. My concern has always been in this is protect the cities and counties and their share.
Right.
That they shouldn't have to be they should not have to linger and be hanging out to dry while we have this argument. Yep. They need to be protected. Do you feel like they're getting protected in this?
I believe the package that comes out, they will be, they'll be made whole. They'll at least get the money that they need to keep keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not big projects. I mean, I just got a phone call from the city administrator in Cascade Locks yesterday. ODOT, the bike trail up and down the Columbia River, they had experienced a slide, and that slide has consumed the trail, the bike trail, and nobody has any money to remove the debris. And it's like a million cubic feet of dirt. It's a huge deal, and they're talking like $1 million to move everything. And the problem is nobody has any money, but two, this Forest Service isn't responsible for it because it's not a designated Forest Service trail. ODOT says, well, it's not on a right-of-way, but we don't have any money to do anything with it to begin with. Cascade Locks, it's not in the city or anything. It's not their problem. And then the county, it's like, not a county right away. We don't have any funds to move this. And how do we find dollars to move it? So I made a phone call to the governor's office and is there places that we can get this? Because things like that impact tourism.
Yeah.
Impacts tourism in Cascade Locks. Impacts tourism here in Hood River.
Yeah, yeah, that's an economic issue. And,
right.
And it was sold to build that trail, by the way, with for folks with that economic promise.
I was on the work group with Commissioner Babbitts when he was the mayor, and we talked exactly about that, the economic benefits of that trail.
So we'll see that come to a head this week in some way, it appears, one way or the other.
Yep, on Monday, that's the drop-dead date. We'll have a conversation about it.
Approved was the removal of three new Trump administration tax breaks from the state tax code. Also improved was an increase of a separate tax credit for low-income working families. That was not controversial, that part of it. No, everybody, even those that they talk repealing it through the voters, are going, we protect that. That's
right.
That nobody's arguing that. It's about the other three.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones I noted in this was ending accelerated depreciation on machinery and equipment purchases for corporations and businesses.
Uh-huh.
And that's a tough one for me because I like to see these businesses when they buy new equipment have the option of how they want depreciation to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the biggest problem with this, or am I being a little simplistic here?
No, the ability for a business, whether they're a small business, large business, whatever they are, I stood up on the House floor and talked about the ability for those businesses that be taken away. And if you're a small startup business and you have now invested in equipment, whatever it is, and you're able to take that depreciation at the front end, all of it, then you can reinvest that money. You'll have capital to go forward with it. A lot of small businesses, once they start out 3 or 4 years down the line, they may be out of business. Big corporations, a little bit different. But, you know, farmers, you know, there's my colleagues from Eastern Oregon that are farmers and ranchers. They don't get to buy new equipment all the time. And this was an opportunity for them to get brand new equipment, write it off right then and there, and have equipment that's going to last for a long time, years to come.
And I would hope buying from people in their market, in their area, the economic benefit
it helps the whole state. They're able to reinvest within the communities that they're there buying it, or they're doing upgrades, and that's a huge loss for economic development, because you buy new stuff that then creates more jobs when you order it from somebody locally, and those jobs deliver, and it just builds upon itself, and we lost that ability. Now they have to string it out over several years, and they actually went down to a little bit less. I'm trying to find my notes where what had changed, but there was a lot that had changed with that, and it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. This one, you know, there is a call and a drive to put this on the ballot as well. This one's a little more complex because we're dealing with tax code here, and that's a little harder to communicate to people, isn't it?
Yes.
Either direction to make an informed decision, because this really starts to get down the weeds on this.
I'm not a tax person.
I'm not going to try to be a tax code person either. I'm not. But there's a part of it, though, I'll go to a more basic part of this, is that people forget, but presidential administrations come and go.
Yep.
Gubernatorial administrations come and go. Legislators come and go. That necessarily reacting to every little thing every administration does brings a lot of counterproductivity to it.
Yes, I've seen that on the House floor. They don't like who the current administration is.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan, I admit it.
wherever you sit, right. But it's like, let's pay attention to what's in front of us and not trying to make everything at the federal level.
Yeah.
And it's what I will always go back. If we focus on the state of Oregon, and if we focus our efforts on stabilizing what Oregon is and creating a foundation that when I leave this office and the next person steps in or the next generation comes through, they have a good foundation. Let's build it, not sitting here going off the rails everywhere. And we have to focus on our state.
Well, see, what I'm also coming to on this is, and there are things, and believe me, there are things that have been decided at the federal level that I absolutely hate. I think they're terrible decisions. They hurt a lot of people. But I'm not sure I can ask the state of Oregon to backfill all this stuff. because it gets you in. You know, well, you already had a tenuous budget situation. Are we having some of these arguments right now if we weren't trying to backfill stuff from the federal side? How much would that change if we just said, look, we hate it, but there's not, you know, it's like we don't have the funds to do this. And just concentrated on, again, what actually is the state's responsibility.
I think so. I mean, if you look back 10 years ago, mm-hmm. the state's budget was around $70 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's now $140 billion.
Sure.
All funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we grow double that in less than a decade? Mm-hmm. And where is our spending at? Where are our priorities mm-hmm. at? Are we getting niceties or the basics?
Mm-hmm.
Are we taking care of what Oregonians want us to take care of? And mm-hmm. this is not a campaign speech or anything like that. This is just how do we budget for the citizens of this state in a manner that everybody understands it?
Well, yeah. Well, number one, the numbers have gotten so big, it's kind of hard to put things in perspective anymore. Number two, how much of that money, when you said that gross $70 to $140 billion, came from Oregon was very heavily involved, has been very heavily involved in pilot projects federally, especially involving healthcare,
mm-hmm.
where money has come down from the federal government to deal with money that probably isn't coming anymore,
right?
And at least under the current administration. Now, 2 years from now, it might all change again, and the money flows again. I'm not arguing that necessarily, but my point is, I'm not sure we can't fix all the ills necessarily. I mean, some people may not think they're ills at all, and I get that. I'm just trying to do this from a monetary point of view. There isn't any state that can necessarily do that, can it? I mean, maybe a Texas or California, maybe, but I'm just wondering, because we get so far into this, we haven't talked education budget hardly at all this go around.
No.
Which is shocking in this state when you get right down to it. Remember mental health?
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. I'm just being facetious here.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
We haven't talked about any of that during this short session, which, again, was supposed to be a bit more about budget tweaks. That's gone. That left the station years ago.
We're in a major policy at this point.
Yeah, I lost that argument years ago. It's gone. But the point being is that we're trying to deal with a lot of stuff that isn't necessarily in our control, and we may just keep shoveling money out there with it and may not get what we're looking for.
You're right, but the other parts, like you mentioned California, mm-hmm. mentioned Texas and some other places.
Yeah, just examples.
Right, but you look at, part of it's just how they've based their tax structure and how they're bringing businesses in, and their growth, their net worth goes up in the state because they got more people there.
And that gets to a whole other discussion about have we band-aided our tax system to the point is we just tied it into knots and we need to just start over almost?
I think major tax reform policies probably needs to happen, but you got to get a group of people that are willing to sit in there and get it done.
That takes political courage.
Yes, it does. It takes a lot of courage to get
it
done.
And I'm not sure I see enough of it there to do it right now, unfortunately.
Right now, not coming into campaign season.
Nope, I know that. I've done this for 30-plus years now. I get that part of it. It can drive me crazy, but I need to get one more thing here. We are running low here on time, and that is the one that isn't necessarily in the news as much, even though it has been the last couple of days. I've seen a couple of stories. Recreational liability. We have gone down this road before, and this is important. You know, this involves our ski areas. It involves
everything.
Pick what you want recreationally around here.
Yep.
It's stalling again.
Yep. Championed it with Senator Meek last session. It stalled, sat on the Senate President's desk. Senator Meek and I came back again, ran two similar bills in the House and the Senate. His bill got sent to rules. Mine died because the chair of judiciary does not want it in the House. He just does. Representative Krupp, who is the chair, just is adamantly, this is not the way to do it. We got to do it differently. And stall tactics. Mm-hmm. Then Senator McClain from Prineville, got in the work group. Senator Przanski did a ski only bill, and then we've had to modify it and make it better and try to keep making it better and better. You know, we are down to the last few days of session to get something there. And I just got a text. I was talking with Senator McClain. Because we're getting closer. And one of the bigger hangups is we can punt to 27, but I don't want to do that. We need to have something now. And it's just the biggest thing, what it is, conspicuous. When you have a waiver, do you really understand you're signing these liabilities away?
Yeah.
It hasn't been a problem before, but the Bagby decision that happened in Bend at Bachelor changed everything. And the biggest thing right now is it's talking about arising out of the activity instead of performing the activity. And these are the nuances that lawyers come up with. And it's like,
yeah, I know. My dad's one. I get that. I mean, my dad has always told me that the liability waivers, like on tickets and things, those things are worthless. He said they're absolutely, you know, they'll be torn apart in a courtroom in a second. Now, this to me is somewhat the death of common sense in many ways, is mm-hmm. that if I am doing something that involves, like, you know, the freestyle skiing type.
Has thing, inherent risk.
It has inherent. I'll use one, you know, I used to, you know, I would skate around, you know, put on the skates, grab the stick. There were inherent risks involved because I was playing in a physical sport.
Right.
Same thing with baseball. I mean, if I got hit by a baseball, which I did once in the face when I was a kid. Nobody sued because of that, okay? I was playing baseball. It happened.
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. It occurred. I took a bad hop, took it right in the mouth. It happens. You know, I think that probably drives a lot of people crazy here in this, is that we're you know, not everything involves somebody being negligent. Sometimes life crap happens.
Yep,
that's the word I can use.
Things happen, you know.
and the idea that I feel bad when somebody gets hurt. I do, but not necessarily the fault of the place that you were purchasing time at to do this. Now, I do want to make sure that people are being negligent. That yes, there are ways, but frankly, in the courtroom, there usually is.
I think part of it's the summary judgment, getting to a point before it goes to trial. Can you settle now or later? Yeah. That's the complexities. But yeah. I think the bigger part is if you have the ski operators, the one that we're talking about a lot,
right.
If they have a chairlift that they didn't do the proper maintenance on and somebody gets injured or hurt, dies, that is gross negligence.
It is. It's already
but
there.
If you are skiing down a hill and you go ski beyond your abilities and you go into the train park and take a jump and you hurt yourself,
That's you.
That's on you. That is a problem that you created, not them.
See, that's my point. But I also know the attorney's lobby that is involved in this.
The trial attorneys. Yep. They're a huge thing.
They're powerful. I'm not sure how many people realize how powerful that lobby is.
Very powerful.
It is. Could we tend to talk about the teachers or pick a couple others? The trial lawyers, I think, may be the most powerful down there, based on what I can see.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned the trial lawyers, that two people that are on judiciary that are chairs are both attorneys.
Yeah.
Which is, I get it. Mm-hmm. That's their wheelhouse for doing stuff. But you got to go look back in their C&Es and who pays for their campaigns.
And that's why I want to do a full disclosure. My dad's an attorney. My dad doesn't do that sort of, he's retired now.
Right.
He did labor law is what he did. But certainly he knows a lot about various areas, and this is one of them. And you know, there is a reality that even if you pass something, there are lawyers out there who can
they'll find a way
and we'll come back around a few years from now from this. But there is you're getting to a point where it's getting difficult for these areas to get
operate.
Insured.
They're dead. There's one insurer that's willing to insure ski resorts in the state of Oregon now. Yeah. One. There used to be several. Mm-hmm. And what I cannot figure out for the life of me is the Western state regions, everybody else has got this figured out except Oregon.
Right. Well, to me, this is now the point. It's like, when I see Washington's got it, California's got it, Idaho. It's like,
yeah, everybody else, Colorado has it.
Copy what they did, change the name of the state to Oregon, and move on.
This is how ridiculous it got to a point. Like, well, we need to do what Hawaii's done because they were more restrictive and they listed everything out. It was like a 5-page bill of skydiving. It's like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Let's look at what Colorado did. Washington, they got it figured out.
So, yeah, I mean, it's already been a tough enough year for those ski resorts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do sometimes, like, I worry more about the snow for the ag, but I understand.
You had people that were getting employed that were going to be there now don't have the same amount of hours. They have to go somewhere else for employment, and it's rough right now.
It is tough. So, yeah. Do you think, I need to wrap this up, do you think that you'll see something come out in the next week? It sure doesn't sound like it based on what I'm hearing.
I'm a half glass full guy.
I know you
empty.
Are.
Yeah,
okay.
My Senator Mike McLean, I've got a lot of faith in him and the people that are in that room. They're hashing it out, and I think we get to something.
In the end, I got to think most of the folks involved see the common sense part of this, where, you know,
you make a decision. Let's put it in context. You get all the lawyers in the room,
right,
and they start debating and trying to try it in the middle right now. It's like, let's take a step back. Keep it simple. The courts are going to figure this out.
I've covered land use planning.
Oh, yes.
That's basically what this, that's lawyers arguing while some citizen panel that has volunteered to be up there tries to do this where it will get through a DLCD review, almost never does, because it's a losing battle against a bunch of lawyers. And, you know, that's basically what that sounds like to me this is now, is attorneys versus attorneys, billable hours, and...
Yeah, I'll leave you with this. One of the things when I was back seeing my father in Colorado, and I saw him all the time, and I didn't pay attention much to it, but the kids pointed out, attorney, have you been injured, lawsuit, injury attorney? Billboards everywhere in Colorado and Denver. Didn't see him in Oregon, not until the last 6 months. You see these billboards popping up around places. And I was just like, where is this coming from?
I've seen them around.
Not to the point where you're paying attention.
Maybe. Of course, I also don't live in spend much time in the Portland metro area.
There's a billboard as you come down the mountain.
Yeah.
They put one right there. And thing right as you come down the mountain. Are you injured?
I can't knock it from a business standpoint.
Nope.
I can't knock
it. They're buying advertising time. They can do that.
8:36, I do need to run. Jeff, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Take care.
We'll be back right after this.
Never have I ever called my sister from the finish line of my first marathon.
Hello?
You won't believe where I am.
Are you running?
Mile 26. I'm going to make it.
Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e with its advanced camera system on us. Plus, two lines for just $30 a line.
Guys, I can't believe it.
I knew you could do it, babe.
That was amazing.
Mom, how do you feel?
I feel great. I can't feel my feet. Let's take a picture. And then you may carry me to the car.
Share every stride, every mile, every memory on America's best network. Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e on us and two lines for just $30 a line.
With 24-monthly bill credits and two eligible port-ins on Essentials 55 Plus for well-qualified customers with autopay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128GB $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Americans enjoy a food supply that's abundant, affordable overall, and among the world's safest, thanks in large part to the efficiency and productivity of America's farm and ranch families. Today we salute the agriculture industry.
It's that time of year when we never know what Mother Nature has in store, but Hood River Supply is here when you need us. See us at Hood River Supply on the Heights in Hood River and in the John Weber Business Park in Odell. Hood River Supply, your local member-owned cooperative.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:38 in the morning. I'm way behind here, so I'll do the news real quick. Just some headlines here. An Oregon jury's ordered Pacific Corps to pay $305 million to 16 victims of the state's devastating 2020 wildfires and the latest verdict in a class action lawsuit against the utility that includes thousands of members. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley calling for an independent investigation into how federal immigration agencies are spending funds. 20 of his Senate colleagues signed on to the letter, including fellow Oregon Senator Ron Wyden. They want the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office to probe the cost of the crackdown on immigration. Several Southwest Washington sites are at risk of closure amid state funding woes, including Skamania County's Dugan Creek Campground. Governor Bob Ferguson proposing a $750,000 decline in funding for Washington DNR. House Majority Leader in Olympia, Joe Fitzgibbon, issued an apology after showing up intoxicated during Wednesday evening's House Appropriations Committee meeting. The Seattle Times reporting the Democrat said in a statement that he deeply regrets consuming alcohol before the work of the committee was completed, saying he made a serious mistake and that the result was obvious. 8:39 in the morning, our current temperatures in the area. 42 now in Stevenson, 42 in the Dalles, 42 in Hood River, and we'll have with us in just about 90 seconds or so, Eric Bosler from the Central Gorge Master Gardeners after this.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. You know those tall Sprinter vans that look like they could secretly double as apartments? Yeah, we work on those, and we know them really well. Whether it's your adventure rig, work van, or a mystery mobile full of camping gear and snacks from 2022, we've got you covered. We're now just 10 minutes up the hill in our great new location in Hood River. Come see us! From Mercedes and Ford, big rigs to Sprinters, no jobs too big or small. At Del Carpine, we work on them all.
Family owned and locally trusted.
I am Imelda Padilla. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, and a proud member of this community. Being part of Skyline Health, both on the hospital and the foundation board, allows me to support the healthcare that this community needs to keep us strong. That's why I am committed to supporting Skyline, not just as a patient, but as a board member. This hospital makes our community stronger and healthier every day. I am Skyline.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Sunshine today, highs mid-50s, and the west wind to 15 miles per hour. Some clouds start to come in tonight. There'll be areas of frost as well. Lows mid-30s, west wind to 10 miles per hour.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined on the phone by, from the Central Gorge Master Gardeners, Eric Bosler. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, thank you for being with us this morning, and let us discuss here seeds for a few minutes as we are into that time of year. Actually, maybe what we should discuss first here real quick is, I think the temperature is supposed to be close to 60 on Monday, but we go through this early in the year, and this leads us to the warning for people to not necessarily jump out and start planting stuff right away. There's a lot of other factors, and this is still a little bit early for most things.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. In fact, just as you were talking about your incident on the baseball court, on the baseball field, I ran out and took a quick temperature of the soil in our raised beds, and the soil temperature right now is 40 degrees. There are some seeds that will germinate successfully in that temperature. It takes them a lot longer to germinate than normal. But you also stand the risk of just having the seed sit there until it rots. So it looks like it's great, and the seed packets are all in the stores, but it's time to start thinking about alternatives to starting your seeds. If you've got to get them started now, then you need to start them indoors.
And that will lead us to seeds. And people are looking at seeds right now. I know some people collect them themselves and store them, etc. But for most folks, getting seeds means going down to their garden or hardware store, wherever they pick them up, and picking up some packets of seeds. And this gets us, Eric, to knowing what you're buying and understanding what to look for. Because even though most stores will tend to only stock seeds that are native to, or not necessarily native, but will be compatible with the climate of the area. Around here, we got so many microclimates that's difficult, and you really need to keep an eye on what you're buying.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, you look at those displays, and they got all those great pictures in the front, all the delicious-looking vegetables and beautiful flowers and that sort of thing. But the information that you really need is on the back of the package, because tell you the information that you need to make that successful, because those seed producers want you to have success with their product, and so they've squeezed an awful lot of information on that little small package in the back, and every bit of it's important to follow. You know, particularly things like the maturity of the crop, so that you know when to plant it in relation to when you want to see it get mature for you. Seed depth. Seed depth is very, very important, because that little seed has a packet of energy that is going to take it to the level where it can start as a plant to create its own energy through photosynthesis. And if you put one of those little seeds too deep, it may expend that energy before it actually gets to where its head is in the sunshine. And so seed depth is very, very important. Some seeds, actually, you plant them right on the surface. And then others, you need to put them down a ways. So the information on the back of that seed packet is critical.
And, you know, this gets, though, to what you just mentioned as we start out, when I mentioned about, you know, it's going to be warmer than normal here, and, you know, keeping in mind your soil temperatures. And you mentioned indoor planting. I assume there are some plants and seeds that do better with an indoor start than transferring to outdoor than others. Am I right?
Well, yes, and it's exactly what we're in the process as Master Gardeners doing right now. We've had our first seed starting party in preparation for our plant sale in Mother's Day weekend. It's, you know, some of these plants have such a long growing season requirement that if you wait until you've got optimum conditions outside, you're going to wind up with a very, very late harvest. And so many, many of those seeds benefit from planting indoors, doing them starts early. And it's also very, how can I say this? It's a lot easier to control those seeds and know that, you know, I want to have six sweet pea plants. Well, maybe if you put six sweet pea plants seeds in the ground, you may not get the six plants that you want. If you start indoors, you can bring those plants to the point where they've got a great chance of transferring into the soil and surviving. And you can control the number that you got, your spacing, all of those kinds of things. So there's some real advantage to starting seeds indoors and early.
Are there some seeds that are not suited to that?
Yes. A number of those crops are very, very difficult to transplant. The ones that come to mind are like carrots and radishes and those kinds of things. Those tender little plants just don't seem to transplant as well as some of the sturdier ones. We all seem to transplant tomatoes very successfully. Squashes, the peas I mentioned, beans, those sturdier plants seem to do very, very well. That said, if their seeds are started in the right sizes, you can be very successful with some of the other things, like we've already started cilantro in the greenhouse. But transplanting carrots, I think you got a real issue there. Better to wait and direct seed those.
Carrots, I don't think, take that long to germinate anyway. So, I mean, it's not like you necessarily have to have a long growing season for them.
No, you're absolutely right, particularly if you pick the correct variety. Radishes are another example. I mean, you can go out and sprinkle radish seed out and get it to, radish seed doesn't want very much of a depth. lightly cover it, and you're going to have radishes pretty quick. So it's not the kind of thing that you want. You need to take the time and the space to plant it indoors.
Mm-hmm. We talked about soil temperature. And I know soil temperature, you know, it varies from plant to plant what the ideal temperature is to plant or seed or transplant or whatever you want to do. But checking your soil temperature, I mean, what do you recommend for doing that?
Well, you know, they make soil temperature thermometers. They're almost a scientific tool. In fact, they are. And they've got a long probe and all of that sort of thing. A simple dial thermometer, I've seen them in the hardware store for as little as $10. You want to measure your soil temperature at about 4 inches, so you don't need a thermometer with a 1 foot long probe. It's a great, great tool because you can look out there and say, you know, in our case, the raised beds are right now in the sun, and you would think, well, we're going to have a few more sunny days, and it's going to be great out there. But you put that thermometer down at about 4 inches, and you'll get what I got this morning, which was 40 degrees. Now, will seeds germinate in that? Sure they will, but they're going to generate a lot quicker and with greater success if you wait until your temperature and your soil's up around 50 degrees, or if you're fortunate, a little bit more than that. So,
got a couple classes coming up for people to take part in, one of which will be next Saturday, March 7th at Hood River Valley Christian Church. And this is going to be a class on manage and keep trees healthy. And our friend from OSU Extension, the forester Glenn Irons, is actually, I think, going to be the one who's going to lead this class.
Yep, Glenn is indeed. You know, the Master Gardeners, we're in the middle of our classes, and some of those classes we really enjoy welcoming the rest of the community to come and partake in that class. And Glenn's just an excellent presenter. I've had an opportunity to have classes, even do a field trip. He's really, really informative, a great resource. So our tree health class this year will be open to the community, and it's on March 7th, 9 o'clock, as you said, at the Valley Christian Church. And we're asking everyone who comes from the community, if they're able, to help us with a donation of a suggested donation of $10, which we will match. The donation then goes to the Fish Food Bank. The Master Gardeners will match up to $1,000. So if you're inclined to come and take a great class on tree health and at the same time donate to your to our community, come and join us.
All right. So that's coming up. Also, the annual Garden Gathering Workshop Series is going to get started a few days later, and good talk. Sounds like about native plants to get everything started.
Indeed, indeed. That one's coming up, and Tree Fest is coming up as well. So the best thing to do is to go to your favorite website and check on those times and dates.
All right, so we can check that out. And again, of course, you'll be doing the garden gatherings about once a month, I believe.
That's correct.
Okay, and so we'll look forward to those coming up in March. Well, I'm sorry, went a little short there. I went a little long with our first guest, but we've got to run. And again, March 7th, this on Saturday of next weekend, the community class of Managing to Keep Trees Healthy, 9 o'clock in the morning, Hooter Valley Christian Church, $10 donation. That's going to be given to Fish Food Bank. Central Gorge Master Gardener is going to match that up to $1,000. Eric, thanks for doing that. Appreciate it.
Yep. And again, reach out to us if you've got any gardening questions. That's what the Master Gardeners are there for. And all you have to do is do a search for Hood River Master Gardeners, and you'll find a way to get to us.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. It's 8:53 in the morning. I'm Mid-Columbia Today. We will wrap things up for you after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
So I own a coffee shop, and I wanted to label everything with our logo.
That's ambitious.
Cups, boxes, bags.
Ooh, that'll add up.
Not at all, because right now, Staples prints custom labels for 30% off.
30% off? That's shockingly affordable branding.
Yep, now our logo and URL are seen all over town.
Brand your business for less at Staples.
That was easy.
Shop Staples in-store, online, or in the app by 442 Unlock. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
FFA continues to help the next generation by helping its members to develop their own unique talents and explore their interests in a broad range of agricultural career pathways. This week, during National FFA Week, we salute the FFA in Hood River, Sherman, Gillam, Klickitat, Skamania, and Wasco counties. Chad Munzer Farm Equipment Repair is proud to support our future farmers and our friends in the agricultural community. We keep you running, planting, and harvesting. Thank you, FFA.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guest is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Eight:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Thank you for joining us this morning on this final Friday of February. Here's what's coming up on the show next week. Monday, Matt Warbritton is going to join us. NRCS Oregon Snow Survey. So we will talk about snowpack. I think we may have something lined up second half for Monday. I got a phone message during the show. I got to check that out after the show is over. So Tuesday, Cindy Thiemann, Hood River Watershed Group, is going to join us. Then we will talk Hood River... Actually, not Hood River, Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. They've got their spring season coming along here. Wednesday, Washington 17th District State Representative David Stevie. Plus, we'll talk the next door. Thursday on the show, Sarah Fox, Sense of Place, first half of the show. We'll talk about their March event coming up. And we'll talk OSU Extension. And Friday, Dr. Mike Foss from Alpine Veterinary will be along to talk animals. So plenty scheduled for you next week. We do want to remind you, of course, that the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is coming. And you'll want to circle the date on the calendar or make a reminder on your phone, whatever. 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, March 14th, on this station, other Bi-Coastal Media stations in the Gorge. The biggest one-day savings event in the region. We'll be starting to talk to you next week about what is available in the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction. But make sure you got the date, first of all. You have a chance to save money, and goodness knows people want to do that right now. So that's going to be on Saturday, March 14th, beginning at 8 in the morning. Be ready, and we'll have it for you. Let's see here. Some things going on in the area before we walk away this morning. To tell you about Columbia Art Gallery in Black in the Gorge presents a screening of the film Basquiat. That'll be on Friday evening at 7 at Columbia Center for the Arts in Hood River. Tickets are $13 at ColumbiaArts.org. Hood River Valley High School Theater Department presenting The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie tonight and tomorrow night at 7 and Saturday at 2 as well at the Bow Theater at Hood River Valley High School. Tickets $20 for adults, $15 students and seniors. Hood River Valley High School FFA, their annual Farmer's Breakfast, is tomorrow from 8 to 10:30 at the Hood River Valley High School Cafeteria. That is a free event as long as the food holds out, and you can also learn about all the great things FFA does there. Gorge Rebuild at Center, 2026 Reset Volunteer Day begins at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the center on 995 Tucker Road in Hood River. Food and drinks provided, no experience needed. To sign up, go to the Gorge Rebuild It Facebook page. My Journey to Hood River. Local residents describe their path to Hood River County at an open mic event. Each storyteller has 5 minutes to share their journey. 2 o'clock Saturday at the Hood River Library. And we've run out of time. It's time for us to wrap this up for the week and for the month, really. We'll be back with you on Monday, the 2nd of March. I'm Mark Bailey. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.